If you've ever felt stuck in your personal growth or wondered how to make real change that lasts, this episode might just give you the breakthrough that you've been looking for. Welcome to The Debrief Show, the show for leaders who want to bring out the best in themselves, their teams, and their communications. I'm Dee Clayton, your host, and a multi-award-winning executive coach and team trainer. With over a decade of experience leading big brand communications, I'm also a trainer of NLP and a certified practitioner of insights discovery and motivational maps. I blend all of these to help leaders and their teams to communicate with more clarity, confidence, and impact. Joining me this time for episode 12 is Will Grover. He's a senior trainer and coach here at Simply Amazing Training. Will has helped hundreds of leaders to unlock their potential and achieve lasting results. In this episode, we're going to get personal. We were talking all about what personal development really means, not in theory, but in our real lives. We shared the moments that shaped us and the tools that we still use today. And we talked about why personal growth isn't about being perfect, but it is about learning to bounce back, adapt, and take charge of your journey. And we talked about how a few simple coaching questions can spark big life shifts. So let's talk to Will. Welcome back to the show.
Could you, for some of our listeners who maybe don't know what personal development is, I mean, we could call it personal growth, but what's your definition of personal development?
I got to give you a one-word answer, essential. I'll give you the dictionary definition and then I can tell you about my interpretation. So it is the process of improving self-awareness, self-knowledge, skills and potential with the aim of enhancing quality of life and achieving personal goals. So it all sounds absolutely fantastic. Socrates said way before this dictionary definition was ever written, know thyself. That was like the highest achievement that you could attain during your lifetime, just to know thyself. And I think for me personally, it's about living on purpose, with purpose. So that self-awareness part, empowering yourself, I think it's probably the biggest gift any of us can give to ourselves, is to develop, not just turn up and cope. Is figure out what's going on and why.
Yeah. And Susanna, one of our guests, talking about the motivations the other week, she was saying about the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and self-actualization being at the top of that, which is all around knowing yourself. And so it's all connected, isn't it? And obviously then it would be a subject taught in schools because it's so important. I think I might have missed my class of personal development. Do they do it nowadays or not?
Well, they...
That's my teacher calling.
They do. There is like an element in PHSE, I think it's called, like the extra stuff that they cram into one session around all the, you know, the hard subjects like maths and science. So they cover it a little bit. I certainly remember in my school, it was not the main feature. Yeah, so knowing yourself and communicating well and understanding others and showing empathy, developing relationships, it was kind of just hoped it would find its way into your life somehow after you left school or while you're at school.
Definitely not subject
to prime.
Yeah, and I think some people have taken this up now and it's more in schools these days, but for some of us that it wasn't in school, I mean, that's really going to be part of the question today, is how do we get into it and how do you discover it is a topic that you might want to know more about? And also some of our listeners might already be on their personal development journey, either consciously or unconsciously, and want to know, you know, what's next? Well, I've done this course, so I must be finished. Is that how it works?
Well, no, that's what I like about it. I do like a challenge that has no end. I'm probably a little bit sick in the head or something, but I do like something that you could just continually keep getting, I would say, better at, but more comfortable with, because I think sometimes the personal development journey can feel a little bit awkward. It can feel clunky. You can find yourself suddenly not relating to things that are very, very comfortable for you. So it's coming out of that comfort zone and breathing that new air, and it's like, oh, it can feel a little bit odd and a little bit uncomfortable. So look, I mean, personal development is obviously really important. And it's probably no surprise at all that all the guests we've had on throughout the series have had some element of personal development within their journey.
Yeah, for sure. So we had, Adrienne. She was our first guest, wasn't she, on The Face Whisperer? And she was fantastic at reading people's faces and telling us what that means. And so that it's a deeper level of empathy and understanding, isn't it? So instead of using your words only to understand what people say or using their words, it's another way to understand others. And then importantly, how to react to that, not to judge that. You need emotional intelligence, don't you, to do face reading well, because later during the show, she was sort of saying, well, then what do we do about it? We don't go head on in and say, you look angry. We say, have you got a question then, Will, or what's going on for you, or how do you feel about that? So you need your emotional intelligence for sure to go along with that. We also had Gwen talking about the hybrid meetings, where some people attend virtually, some people in person, and having the emotional intelligence or the personal awareness to recognize how different people feel, maybe left out, how you feel about it. Are you, ignorant to you? Are you scared of change? Are you scared of looking stupid so you're not going there? The same with AI, when we talked to Maggie about AI and EQ, what is your own stuff going on? Well, before you start asking your teams to do X, Y, and Z, could be change friendly. Actually, what's your attitude to change? So, some people may be listening to this rather than watching it. But one of my favorite elements from the personal development world is this three fingers back. So when you point with your finger and your thumb to someone else, and I say, Will, you're really unfriendly to change. You're not adapting quickly enough. When you sort of look back at how many fingers are pointing back at you, there's three fingers pointing back at me, which means that one of the first steps I should do is look at myself and go, what's my attitude to change?
Yeah.
How am I influencing Will? Or, what triggers do I have about change in myself? I love that three fingers back. And we've used that together as well, haven't we?
We have, all of these little tips. This is why I like the area of personal growth so much, is because it's not a one size fits all approach. And you can see, or you can hear the penny drop, and you can see the light go on for people depending on where they're at in their, let's call it their lives rather than their personal development journey, because that's what we're all on. During their life, something will really resonate, and it could be the three fingers pointing back at you. It could be part of the communication model from NLP. It could be just something someone says on stage during a TEDx talk, and it changes everything for you.
Yeah.
It's one of the only areas of life, I think, that has the ability to reinvent you on the spot.
I think I had one of those. I'm not sure if you were at the same conference as me. I think you were, when I heard Darren Hardy on stage talking about the compound effect. Were you there for that one?
I don't think I was, no. But I've read the book that has it.
Oh, yeah. And that was one of those moments. I was well into my personal development journey, but this was still maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing, but let's say 7 or 8 years ago. And he really got me into this idea of the compound effect and exponential growth, and that these small, seemingly insignificant changes multiply over time to make something massive over time. But you've got to stick at the mini things in order to see the big thing. And that really made a very practical, significant change to me in my life and what I did. But one of the absolute, we're always very keen on taking action after things, aren't we? So one of the actions I took was to wake up an hour earlier. At that time, I was working in corporate. I think it was my last corporate job, in fact, before I set up my business, maybe. I'm not sure. But it made me get up an hour earlier, and I did that for 21 days to stick the habit in place, even over weekends, because it was like a 6:30 start, I think, at that time. And then since then, I've changed it to a 5:30 start. Now, I don't always do it, and sometimes I fall off the wagon. But as a goal of mine, especially in the summer where we're recording this now, I've been getting up at 5:30, and you get so much more time to do all the other things you say you want to do but never have time, which is the exercise, the personal development, the getting ready, the eating the right stuff, you know, all of that. So it's compounded.
Yeah.
And that was a brilliant moment in time. Have you had listened to a speaker or a book particularly that has done something like that for you, really made a very practical change in your life?
100%. Like I said, I've read a lot of books, listened to a lot of podcasts and seen a lot of people speak at events. But the thing that probably unlocked that for me was Jim Rohn.
Yeah.
So it was a talk about blaming the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the will of the weather. So
yeah.
If I have a good day or a bad day, it's always because the external factors are lined up for me in that way.
Mm.
And that we can't blame the weather. And it's the same with sort of setting your sails. I think he talks about it in the same talk.
Mm-hmm.
We can't control the sea, but we can control how we set our sails.
Yeah.
And you can only really set your sails correctly if you understand the elements that are at play. So yes, mm-hmm. the sea, yes, the wind, how tired you're feeling, how competent you are on a sailboat. Like, all these things are skills that you can acquire, but at some point you've got to decide, I'm not just going to let the sea throw me into the rocks
mm-hmm.
or the weather determine that I'm having a bad day. And that's that. I'm going to take action. I'm going to control things that I can control. So yeah, that really unlocked things for me and got me looking into personal development for myself, but also as a transformative vehicle to invite other people to come on the ride with.
Yeah, fantastic. So I'm wondering, how did you first get into personal development? And then if you sort of go quickly back to the beginning of the journey, what was it that came about for you, or a book that you read or a person that you met that got you into personal development, if you want to call it that?
It was a very accidental introduction, really. I had, I'll cut a very long story short. I was a guinea pig for somebody who was training to be a life coach.
Oh.
And I figured at the time I had lots of the building blocks I thought were essential for being a good version of me in place. I was newly married. I had a nice house. I had a nice car. I had a good job. I had everything I thought I needed. And so I kind of like thought, well, do your best. I'm not sure what you're going to learn from me, but I'll at least be compliant. And I went through this coaching process with this trainee who had literally been given a set of questions to ask. These are good coaching questions and they'll make good conversation starters. So I'm not answering these questions. And then I suddenly realized that something was happening to me in the process of somebody asking me questions I'd never asked myself, and challenging certain things that I said. And over the course of just a few sessions, I had changed completely. And I don't say that lightly, but it ultimately led to a change in career, that wife being an ex-wife, and me taking a pay cut of something like 40% to join a completely different industry that I had no experience in, but I felt a calling for. And this is from somebody who didn't think they needed or wanted coaching at all.
Mm.
So that was it for me. I kind of shelved that idea of doing it for myself while I carried on with my career. But I did start picking up more books, listening to podcasts that were specifically about personal growth. So yeah, that was my sails flipped altogether, I think.
Wow.
In the face of that.
What's scary for some people, though, I guess, right?
It can be, yeah. But I think, again, another sort of tenet of personal growth is that things will change nonetheless, and that the more adaptable we are, and we've seen this through personality profiling or just updating your skills or whatever you're in, that when change happens, you need to be able to kind of pivot and move around. And it's the same in our lives. For me, because things always happen. You might lose a loved one. You might move to a new area and have to develop new friendships. Something will change your territory, and it's usually without your control or say-so. So it can be scary, but I think that if it's self-initialized, personal growth is kind of your only armor that you're ever going to be in control of, because everything else is external. So scary, maybe.
But you think maybe those changes were coming down the line, But well, I don't. Yeah, is that kind of what you're saying? The changes would have happened anyway. It's just
the changes would have happened anyway.
Aware of them, or you were more ahead of the game, so you could adapt to them, or expect them, or deal better with them. Have the tools when you needed to. Yeah.
Yeah. So being in the right frame of mind to ask questions, or what could, you know, even simple ones, which again, are so pivotal. What can I learn from this experience?
Mm.
Asking yourself that question consciously when you're going through a really terrible time is not on the hierarchy of needs, really. Initially, if you're in survival mode, being able to sit and reflect, what do I need to learn from this experience?
Yeah. I joke with some of my clients when they keep getting learning after learning, because, you know, we turn these sort of what might be labeled a negative experience maybe sometimes into a learning opportunity. We're like, haven't I had enough learning opportunities? Is sometimes what I say to myself, you know, how many learning opportunities do I need this week?
Exactly.
But it is a good, it's often about reframing things. But also not, I think sometimes personal development, maybe when I first started, a lot of personal development was for me, maybe I haven't had it nuanced enough, was right. There's no sort of negatives or bad moods. You've always got to be, everything's got to be perfect all of the time. And I think over time you realize that it's not about that. It's about making the negatives smaller or pass by quicker or dealing with them better. So the dips aren't so low. It's not that you don't have dips, but the dips hopefully aren't so low, or you come out of them and your loved ones come out of them better than if you hadn't had the personal development.
Well, exactly. And I'll be completely candid that I didn't know I had ADHD until I was in my early 40s. Well, I kind of did, but it wasn't.
What, you're over 40, Will?
It wasn't written down by anyone anyway. And so there are a couple of things in there that people who have the same as me would recognize, the kind of emotional roller coaster that you can go on, and sometimes the weird relationship you have with motivation, seeing things through or getting things started. And so I selfishly wanted to find out more about that to regulate myself. So the studies were completely selfish, but they didn't hurt anybody else. So me pursuing this knowledge, this personal growth, wasn't hurting any, well, my ex-wife would probably argue the opposite, but it didn't hurt anybody in the process. I was just literally looking after myself and trying to figure out what was going on. So going back to what you said, it's that arming yourself with some tools, some good questions to self-coach. Because I say to a lot of my clients, like, if I have a client that lasts for 3 years, I've failed. You know, so don't come to me for your personal development. Come to me to help you start the journey, then you've got to continue that on your own. Because it is, it's more empowering, I think, if it comes from yourself.
Although saying that, I mean, I used to have that belief with my early clients. I was very much like that. Not on the 3 years. I was like, if you need to work with me for 6 months, then you know that you should be self-sufficient. But what I realized after, as I've gone through my journey, and I'm something like 17 years into running my own business now. And I think you've been with us now, six or seven years. So it's a good old journey. But what I realized was I was doing quite a lot of that. Now you need to be independent. But then I found I wanted some coaching and ongoing support, just because that's how I get motivated, is somebody asking those questions, and they don't need to know the answer. They just need to help me to talk it through, or to ask the right questions, or to challenge. So, you know, almost all of my 17 years that I've been in business, I've had some sort of mentor, coach, guide, helper that is helping me to continually develop and challenge myself. So I'm going to slightly disagree on the kind of 3 year thing from that front, in that I think your role changes as you stay with someone that long. You go from mentor to kind of coach, if you like.
Yeah, it's an iterative process, and you obviously can kind of upgrade yourself, and then you might need to be asking different questions of your clients. Absolutely. It's more that if somebody came to you with one specific problem,
Then
when that keeps repeating, then if you haven't said to them as a coach, this seems to be a pattern rather than this seems to be a situation.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about that. So you're absolutely right. I think I've remained open to coaching and mentoring as a professional. There's no top of the mountain. Mm. There's just people who have a different view, and it's really, really handy to tap into that sometimes. So like you say, a coach doesn't need to have the answers. In fact, I'm really grateful that we don't, because dealing with industries as diverse as banking, pharmaceuticals, the NHS, you name it, you know, manufacturing, we can't know these industries inside and out. We can understand where the client is and where they operate, but we can't understand the intricacies of being a CEO of a manufacturing company, because we've never been one. Mm. I don't know. You haven't. I haven't. So we have to just have a set of tools that are applicable to everybody. And yes, there are certain questions you can't ask a new client, because they'll probably be really intimidated by it. I'm not prepared to go to that level yet. Mm. I'm not ready to see myself in that way. Mm. Yeah. So remaining open, I think, to it is a really, really good tactic, technique.
I was going to say there's a couple of really interesting things there that if we've got time, I'd love to go down, like firstly the tools route and then the being ready route. So maybe the being ready route is first and then we'll come back to tools. Because there is a thing about being ready, isn't there? So in my corporate life, so I experienced many training courses, and most of them were pretty awful, to be honest, but some training courses really did make a difference. Now, looking back, I realized that neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, that I'm a fan of and you're a fan of, was part of those training courses. Now, there's probably something else going on in those training courses that I haven't studied, but to me, all of the elements of a successful training course that made me do something different or encouraged me to do something different was based on NLP, not that I knew it at the time. And so, you know, and lots of other things that I did as well that were successful had NLP in without me actually knowing. So I was doing personal development, but I didn't know that, and I didn't call it that. I was doing goal setting. I had a goal to go to Australia, and I ended up working for Jacob's Creek, where you got frequent travel to Australia. That wasn't a coincidence. That was a goal. But I didn't have it in a neat, I didn't really know I was doing it. So I'm sure everyone's doing personal development or personal growth, but it might not be labeled as such. So the first time I came across it was actually when mine wasn't quite as calm as yours. I had been involved in a car accident. It wasn't my fault, I'd like to say. Somebody went into the back of me when I was driving an hour and a half to work every day in the olden days when I used to drive an hour and a half around the M25 to get to work. And somebody went into the back of me at 50 miles an hour and I got whiplash. But I did know enough about personal development then to go, well, I'm very positive. I won't have whiplash. So everyone's saying, you need to be careful about having whiplash. And I said, I haven't got whiplash. Actually, I don't think it's personal development. I think it was denial. And about 2 months later, I hadn't sought any help. I hadn't asked anyone for help. I hadn't been to a doctor. I hadn't done anything at all. I remember very vividly going into a swimming pool and I couldn't move my arms. And I thought, well, how am I going to swim? How am I going to swim if I can't move my arms? And I thought, I better get back out the swimming pool. And that's when I thought, okay, I'm going to ask for some help now from somebody that can help with the physical side. But, you know, looking back on that, what mental beliefs did I have in my head in order to not have gone for help sooner? So all of that started getting unraveled. But that wasn't why I went for help. I went for help for the physical stuff. And then I spoke to some people, and then eventually I got a couple of £1,000 insurance money for my accident in the olden days, which was good enough money. Yeah. And I decided that I'd heard some people talk about this thing called life coaching. So the same as what you're saying, Will, and we do executive coaching, which isn't life coaching, but you know, it has some life coaching elements within it. It's very, it has some sort of crossover. So I did this thing called life coaching. And I went to somebody that was recommended. I didn't really know about NLP, but she was NLP trained. And just from the first session, it was absolutely amazing. It was simply amazing, which is why my business is called, as you know, Simply Amazing Training. You know it's called that because I found NLP as a tool so amazing. And literally after the first session, she's sort of drawing out this stuff going on in my head that I didn't know. And I'm looking, going, that is amazing. How can you know all that without me? Well, because I didn't think I did know it. You know, consciously, I didn't know it. And I'm like, that is amazing stuff. And that's what sent me on the path to then spend my next 1 or 2 years whilst I was in corporate, spending every single holiday I had going off to an NLP course for a week or 2 weeks, or training, you know, or training in India to do more NLP or whatever it was. I just tried to do more and more personal development every opportunity I could. And that's what started me off. So, yeah, being ready is quite an interesting topic, because I expect when you work with clients, you find some of them are really just wanting a practical answer to, I've got this problem with so-and-so at work, how do I deal with it? But then it tends to go down another path as well.
Yeah, it can do. But again, it's very much down to their readiness. So you can test the water by asking certain questions to see if they're ready to, I'll probably like your analogy, are we going to look at the three fingers here, or are we just going to deal with the person that you're blaming or holding responsible for this situation?
The weather.
The weather. Is it going to be the weather's fault again? I think being ready is really important. I kind of the analogy I like to think of is like sowing seeds. So personal development is kind of everywhere. Once you become attuned to it, it's in podcasts, it's in talks, it's in books you read, it's in movies that you watch. Mm-hmm. And it's just in conversations that you have with people that are at different parts of their evolution, so to speak. But if you throw seeds on a car park, the chances are nothing's going to happen. They're still really good seeds. They have potential. Mm-hmm. And what we're looking for with readiness is, you know, a little crack in that concrete that actually, you think about it even more deeply, somebody trying to keep that car park perfect would have gone, there's a crack there. We need to put something over it. We need to smooth over the cracks, which is what we often do in crises. And we just kind of move on, fingers in the ears, blah, blah, blah. It's not happening to me. Let's hope it passes. But one of those seeds falls into that crack and it doesn't need much at all. And it can germinate and it can grow. And before you know it, the concrete's smashed and there's a beautiful meadow there in its place. But it had to be ready for it. So I've had, blimey, so many occasions of this over my years of reading a book, thinking that's interesting, but not, wow, I'm never going to think differently again. Or I'm never going to think the same again, rather. You can read the same book, you can hear the same thing, but because you're in a different state, you're ready for that particular learning. It takes seed and it grows into something magnificent.
I love that metaphor. And you know, building on that, you can do the same learning 100 times.
Yeah.
Repeated. Some of my courses I've repeated. I probably know them inside out. And they're different every time I go to one every year for goal setting. But it's different. You're different. So the piece of information is still super valuable, but you apply it in a different way. So you could literally do the same course 100 times and have a different outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, I don't think it was necessarily personal development, but like I said to you, it happens in conversations if you're attuned to it. Somebody said to me that there's no such thing as standing still. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, everything is changing around you. So if you've got the illusion that you're standing still, it just means that you're not noticing everything that's changing. Mm-hmm. And we have to evolve through our lives. We notice that when we're in our teens and 20s and 30s, 40s, and then retired, we kind of need different things from the world. But the world has changed. You know, so it's this this frustration. What frustration is the gap between expectation and reality, right? So our realities change around us all the time. Mm. And so if we're not changing ourselves, we're becoming either redundant or detached from reality.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a real playful nature in personal development that I love, that we're just going to playfully ask ourselves some challenging questions or put ourselves in a challenging situation, because we know, well, it's just play and, you know, I'm still me. It's just reality. But by going and having that coaching conversation or doing that course again, like you say, goal setting's brilliant, because you might, this is the danger in personal development. You might set yourself some really audacious goals, then actually achieve them. And then when you achieve them, you realize you didn't actually need them or value them that much anyway. But you've only managed to realize that by striving to get there. actually, what's really important to me is connection rather than a Ferrari. I don't know. Could be anything like that.
Connections in a Ferrari, even better.
Yeah, even better. Even better.
Yeah. And that's about being constantly looking at your goals. So setting a goal and then reviewing it. This is probably back to the whole having a coach for a longer period of time, is that you can notice earlier if your goal isn't that same goal, do you need to update it? Do you need to adjust it? So I think that's fantastic. You know, we're coming towards the end of our time. I feel like we've only just started our conversation. Obviously, it's a passionate topic of ours and of our guests. So we talked earlier about some of the guests that, you know, have been in their answers to us in their topics is personal development. There was also Danny who talked to us about how to have collaborative communications with customers, and that takes loads of personal development. And we talked about personal development in that as one of the things that she'd done as part of her success. So go back and re-listen to that show if you fancy that. And then earlier on in some of the shows, there was one with you and I talking about the Simply Amazing structure, about, you know, getting people's attention, about sharing your message in a really organized, structured way, and lots of pieces around making sure that there's motivation to do some action after your communications as well. And we also did an episode with Dom and I where we talked about insights discovery, because NLP isn't the only tool we have in our toolbox. Yeah. There's also insights discovery, which is an amazing personality profiling tool that you can use when used well with EQ, of course. It's not just the tool, but when used well, that can be really good at helping individuals and high performing teams. We blend it together with other things, don't we?
Yeah. Maggie was the conscious leadership. So even though she was talking about AI and technology, it was that in order to lead change in that environment, which can be quite intimidating, as we heard, to lead consciously, and you can't really lead consciously unless you've got a high degree of emotional intelligence and self-awareness.
Which was her first step, wasn't it? I think was one of her first steps to be about self-aware. Yeah, exactly. And there's other tools. We use motivational maps, which Susanna was talking about. And we also end up reading and learning all of these other things in the world of personal development that you may not be consciously using, but you are pulling in from all these books that you've read and podcasts that you listen to, and your own coaches and your own mentors using things that have worked with you. And it's just like you said, there's no end to it. It's forever growing, and that's what makes our lives really interesting, isn't it?
It is. And I think just to kind of wrap it up, really, is ask for you to ask yourselves, you know, where you're at on your personal development journey. If it's something you're yet to explore, then where do you start? It's a really good question. Where do I start? But knowing that there's different people in the industry that have different things to offer, and they're all brilliant. That's why there's not just one resource for personal development. It depends where you're at, depends what you're working towards, it depends what resonates with you. So I have a number of different coaches over the years, and then I'll move track and I'll use somebody else for a more specific question or challenge.
Your advice then to kind of identify the biggest area that you want to do something in? So if it was, for example, we attract obviously a lot of public speaking clients who want to help be more confident with their speaking. We attract lots of executive members who maybe want to get better at getting up to the next step, or they want to lead their teams better. So sort of think about a more of a problem area or a challenge area or a growth area or a goal.
It depends how you're wired, right? It's to or away from. If you're motivated to, it will be something that you want to attain, achieve, acquire. And if you're motivated away from, it might be something that you really struggle with. So if there is something that you're kind of ignoring or skirting around, avoiding, that if resolved would help you elevate to the next level, it's a great reason to get in touch. And I think Dee and I are both seasoned enough to know that if you got in touch with us, let us know a challenge you've got going on or a goal you're working towards. If we can help you or not, we will help you by telling you who you should go and speak to, or what book you should read, or what event you should attend. So I just say remain open to the possibility that you can be an even better version of yourself, because that is definitely true for all of us, 100%.
And absolutely for all of us. Wow. So I feel that we should just carry on at least 10 more episodes on this. But for the sake of our listeners who may need to get on with some other things now, I'd like to let them, you know, percolate what we've said and encourage you, our listener, to do just one small step. Remember the, you know, exponential. It doesn't have to be a giant step. Mm. It might just be buying a book. It might be listening to a podcast. It might be re-listening to this show on writing some notes. It could be anything, but just take that tiny step and see where that leads for you. Lovely to have a little chat with you, Will. We'll be a bit informal today and just, you know, chew things over. And maybe if our listeners enjoyed that, we might do some more shows a little bit like this. It'd be lovely to do that.
Thanks for listening to The Debrief Show. We really appreciate you joining us. A big thank you again to my co-host, Will Grover. You'll find more information in the show notes. And if you want to listen to further episodes, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch us in action, you can find us on YouTube. Just search for my channel, Dee Clayton, and look for The Debrief Show. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please follow the show and share this episode with a colleague or a friend or anyone else you think might find it useful. And join us for season 2, where we're going to have some amazing new guests. And until then, keep bringing out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications.